So there is also somehow touch with psychological science, you know, like what is going on with the brain of the people if we have all these data that are flowing around us and we are providing those data in the end. So this is somehow the reason why we need interdisciplinary approach when we are talking about big data analytics, in my opinion.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Law of Tech podcast. In this episode, we'll be exploring the right to an explanation in the context of automated decision making, and for this, I am joined by Maja Nišević. Maja finished her bachelor and master studies in Belgrade at the Faculty of Law and started her first PhD studies in 2013 in Vienna, Austria. In the meantime, she also worked as a lawyer in Austria and Bosnia, and in 2018, she started her second PhD studies at the University of Verona, where she works as a full-time Marie Curie researcher, focusing especially on profiling through big data analytics in the context of data protection and consumer protection law. Maja, welcome to the show and thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tadash, for this invitation. I'm really happy to be with you today and I hope that we are going to discuss, in my opinion, really interesting topic.
I'm also very much looking forward to it. So thank you from my side, definitely, as well. Now, algorithms have really become central steering tools in the digitalized society and increasingly influence more and more people's lives on a daily basis. And this can be both positively or negatively. Now, one particular application of algorithms takes place in the context of profiling and automated decision making. As organizations' big data capabilities have rapidly increased and also improved, these practices have gained attention, triggering mixed reactions from a variety of fields, including our own, the legal domain. Now, before we really delve deeper into the legal and societal implications of these practices, can you maybe tell us how these practices can best be defined and how they work more from a technical perspective?
Yes, of course. I can say more about profiling through big data analytics, since big data analytics has become a tool to create individuals' profile that can be used for commercial and other purposes. So from technology point of the view, it is necessary to know that there are different steps when it comes to profiling practice. In that sense, there are different steps that are containing the decision-making process, which means profile creation, and the steps of decision-making based on result, or better to say, profile application in the end. So it is also necessary to know that profiling practice is followed by knowledge discovery in data set techniques that allows both the construction and application of the profiles in the end. Good examples of this practice I see in behavioral-based profiling or biometric-based profiling, and finally location-based profiling. I think that those examples can illustrate actually what is going on with our data and why we are profiled in the end. So a good example are Google and Facebook. Since Google is the owner of the most popular search engine worldwide, it is enabled as a private company to profile individuals in the end. It might be concluded that Google and Facebook rely on the same policy, which means that the more data is available, the more potential for profiling exists. As a consequence, they collect a vast amount of the data from their user through their connection with other websites and sell this personal data to other companies or third parties, who then use those data to create consumer profile for advertising and selling purposes. So this means direct monetization of personal data, or what we know under the notion surveillance capitalism today. And I'm sure that you heard a lot of debate, especially in the US, regarding this issue. And this is not just the problem regarding selling or buying personal data, as I mentioned, discrimination or this possibility to exclude whole group of people based on skin color, race or gender, or it's really a big problem in my opinion. Moreover, problem is because profiling through big data analytics can provide wrong inferences about individuals, for example, credit insolvency based on the place of living. And so in that sense, I think that all the consumer protection together with data protection should be enabler for technology and innovation in the market of inside of European Union. It also has to be suitable to provide consumer protection concerning the autonomy and dignity of the individuals inside of the European Union. So all these social challenges that are coming, you know, with big data analytics as a technology and profiling as just one of the technology tool should be considered if we are talking about the protection of the individuals.
Yeah, so all in all, I can imagine that that is pretty worrying.
Yeah. But what is the point is that during my research, I came to the conclusion that, as I mentioned, you know, technology is not the problem until it is useful for benefits, you know. But if there is any abuse of the technology, like this commercial exploitation of consumers on the digital market, for instance, this is really a problem. How to protect ourselves, you know, from such things, you know. So because we are aware of this fact, you know, and there is a possibility for such exploitation. And from other side, it is questionable where this protection is offered when we consider, for instance, European Union legal landscape, what we can do to protect ourselves in the end.
Yes, exactly. And when the moneyed interests come into play, that's when it starts to become very questionable.
Yes.
Now, one thing that has been proposed is to create more transparency within this context, and especially the European General Data Protection Regulation very much talks about transparency in this context. Now, the GDPR also specifically addresses in certain respects what to do in the case of automated decision making, including in the case of profiling. What does the GDPR already say about these practices, and how does it address these practices?
Yeah, so first I say what actually the GDPR says about it. I forgot to mention in the beginning that it is absolutely relevant whether profiling is a part of the big data analytics or not, because as you know, we were in paper form. So this profiling practice exists before development of the big data analytics. However, it is true that big data analytics create a new environment in which advanced processing techniques become much more powerful. So big data puts more significant stress on the checks and the balances in the legal framework for profiling practice. And one of the critical issues is how to ensure that profiling through big data analytics entirely operates in accordance with the existing data protection law. In reality, in my opinion, the GDPR as a legal text, considering data protection inside of European Union context, for sure the GDPR has addressed some of the concerns regarding profiling. First of all, based on the case law, profiling as a term is novelty in the GDPR. Before, in the DPD or Data Protection Directive, was not the subject matter. And in this regard, the GDPR with Article 4 defined the meaning of profiling. Finally, with its Article 22, the GDPR stipulates rights for data subjects when it comes down to profiling practice. And finally, GDPR offers data subjects the right to receive meaningful information about the logic's significance and envisaged effect of automated decision-making, including profiling. So generally saying, or in my opinion, the GDPR allows automated decision-making, including profiling, under broad and general conditions, but somehow it is allowed. And in that sense, I think that if there is a respect of the rules that are stipulated by the GDPR, the profiling as a practice or technology tool can be obtained in the end.
I think you, we both agree on the fact that the GDPR in a way does address this practice, and especially in Article 22 of the GDPR, which is a central article in this respect. But the thing with this provision is very much that it is unclear in many respects. Now, what exactly, if you look at this article, is the scope of application, and how should this provision be understood in terms of those places where it is not that clear?
There is opinion that the GDPR is ambiguous text that try to solve some risks when we are talking about technology. Even the GDPR is accepted fully as digital neutral. When we are talking about profiling, it is necessary to mention that although the notion profiling now is defined with the GDPR in its Article 4, the GDPR does not recognize the differences between automated decision-making process and automated decision-making based on result. Or as I mentioned in the beginning, from technology point of view, there are different steps. So there is no difference between profile creation and profile application in the end. Finally, when we are talking about Article 22 of the GDPR, it is true that this article is key provisions and it determines the scope of protection in the case of profiling and automated individual decision making. So by comparing Article 22 to the definition of profiling in Article 4, in my opinion, it is not clear if every instance of profiling from Article 22 meets the definition stated in Article 4. For example, the definition of profiling in Article 4 requires any form of automated decision processing, while in Article 22, decisions have to be based solely on automated processing. Moreover, Article 22 requires such a decision to produce a legal or similarly significant effect on the data subject, but such requirement is not the subject of the definition of profiling in GDPR Article 4. So, as you mentioned, this interpretation is not so easygoing because of this disbalance between two provisions. One is actually in definition on profiling, another is key provision for the protection and offering some scope of protection when we are talking about data subjects.
Yeah, exactly. And the GDPR also addresses this right to meaningful information in its provisions 13 to 15. And I'm wondering, like, the GDPR tries to create transparency, for example, also within this context, to provide information to data subjects to obtain information on decisions in the context of automated decision making. What does this right to meaningful information entail, and how is it used?
Yes, you're right. So it is true that GDPR by all means requires the controller to provide meaningful information whenever there is profiling practices. This meaningful information is somehow duty for a data controller. So as you know, there is a lot of debate regarding to what is meaningful information. However, according to the Working Party 29 opinion, the GDPR requires nothing else than the fact that controller need to provide meaningful information about logic involved. And so what is logic involved, you know? So in my opinion, this explanation about the process behind, for instance, decision or constructed profile should not be necessarily a complex explanation of the algorithms, or in my opinion, it does not mean disclosure of the full algorithm, especially considering that we are average users. So we are not computer scientists, you know, so we don't have the knowledge. So the information provided should, however, be sufficiently comprehensive for all data subjects, even if it is average data subject, to understand the reason for the decision in the end. In that sense, complexity is not excuse for failing to provide information to data subject, or it should not be actually the excuse. You know, this is really complex and I cannot explain you. In my opinion, it should be explained on an easy way that is understandable for average data subject. So also, I think that strong personal data protection requires that meaningful information should be enough to answer the question to data subject who might force the right to object profiling before consenting to the processing of the personal data and after the decision has been made. However, as you know, there is a lot of the debate where scholars found that the GDPR does not offer such type of the protection. And even if there is requirement for providing this meaningful information, it is not absolutely clear what is this and what does mean. Around right explanation, this is like vivid debate inside of academia, inside of European Union, how should be understood the right to explanation and GDPR in that context. Yes.
Talking about like this debate that is going on, it's not clear to everyone what this right to explanation is and if it exists, because there is no single neat statutory provision labeled this right to explanation in the GDPR. Now, this obviously has, as you said, sparked a lot of debate in academia. And one specific contribution that I know of, at least, is that of Sandra Wachter, Brent Middelstadt, and Luciano Floridi. But can you maybe give us more of an insight into this ongoing debate and the arguments that are made by both sides of the debate?
Yeah, this is a really good question. And I have to say that, I researched all these materials for my new article. And then I came to conclusion when I collected all the opinions from the different scholars and so on, I came to the conclusion that they are actually were publishing, their articles, and it looks like ping pong, like I have this opinion, and then some other scholars actually published some other articles where they are arguing something different and so on. What the point is, the main point is that all this debate is based on the fact that such right or right to an explanation is not legally mandated in the GDPR, since it is for sure subject matters of recital 71. So the main point of the debate is the fact also that some scholars came to the conclusion that lack of regulated provision concerning the ex ante explanation in Article 22 entails a lack in transparency and accountability in the context of the individual's data protection. So this is a main point, So you're right. And you mentioned Wachter et al. Beside them, some other scholars have been debating also. And it is good to know that the first who entered into the debate were Goodman and Flaxman, because they actually gave popularity, to the issue at the heart of the GDPR's right to explanation. When I actually reviewed the opinion of Wachter et al., I actually came to the conclusion that they just disagreed with the word meaningful that apply to substantive analysis of the phrase meaningful information about logic involved in automated decision making. And considering Wachter et al. Opinion, GDPR could legally mandate an explanation when automated decisions have legal or similarly significant effect and are based on solely on automated processes. In my opinion, the crucial finding is that the GDPR does not legally mandate a right to explanation, but rather right to be informed. And this fact, considering opinion of Wachter et al., is followed by their another opinion also, in which they stated that already legally mandated rights in the GDPR provided to the data subject at minimum a right to an explanation of system functionality and future interpretation. And in my opinion, considering that fact, although they have insisted that already defined right to the GDPR in the GDPR is a right to be informed, it seems somehow these distinctions of little more than linguistic importance. Finally, after Wachter et al. Paper, it's good also to note Selbst and Powell's, because they offered a positive concept of the right to explanation. And somehow it is true that the purpose of the GDPR can actually be the ground for this positive concept of the right to an explanation. And finally, it is good to know that in this debate also entered Malghieri and Comandè, if I actually pronounced it well. According to them, the GDPR legally mandates either ex ante or ex post right to explanation. And they actually concluded that dualism between right to ex post explanation and right to ex ante general information could be solved by transparency and comprehensibility. Also, according to them, transparency of automated decision making must include the concept of legibility. So they are no one, because they offered this so-called legibility test. And following this legibility test, companies must ensure their competence to offer ex post information that enables data subject either to compensate for the damage in the case of harm or to opt out in the case of unexpected risk. However, in the end, I would like to mention opinion of Janssen according to eligibility test. In accordance with his opinion, this eligibility test actually requires modification of the question that can explain real effect on data subject. It means that it should provide explanation. Does the controller provide ex post information in case data subject request this, or does the controller provide ex post information in the case on unforeseen risk and consequences, and what ex post information does the controller provide generally? So in my opinion, this legibility test might be useful for the right to explanation, especially because we are talking about technology. And again, we are coming back to average data subject that do not have any knowledge about explaining, system functionality and this algorithm we are using for that, and this is algorithm and so on. So in my opinion, this legibility test might be useful somehow for right to explanation in the end, either ex post or ex ante. So before, before processing and also after this decision is made, and can affect data subject in the end.
Yeah, exactly. And also because we're getting kind of out of the scope of the, or at least we're missing the points, I feel, as we go ahead in time with this discussion, which is really good to add some more clarity to the to this topic. But at the same time, by having this whole discussion, I guess we're kind of going beyond the whole question of is there this right to explanation, yes or no, and focusing on all these details that are important, but I guess we should have some more clarity, for example, from courts on, or that can guide this discussion further. Now, you've also focused on this in your research, as you said. Where do you stand in this debate?
Actually, I have to mention that during my research, I have an opinion that, again, it is not possible to interpret any act, and especially not GDPR, in isolation. So, I published in two parts article, and it is published by the Journal of E-commerce Technology and Communication. And what I have done in my research, I don't know why, but whenever I'm writing something or when I'm researching something, I'm starting from technology point of the view. And then I try to stress this research on the importance of explainable artificial intelligence. So I try to draw conclusion based on technology in reality, and to find, what is opinion when we are talking about technology, if there is possibility to explain in the end, considering technology, if computer scientists can explain us what is going on, in black box and so on. So I found that this importance of explanation in artificial intelligence system are crucial question, and actually are getting more attention in the last 30 years with the further development of technology, in the sense that I concluded that this is not just issue for legal science, but also it is issue, in technology. So it is really hard, from this technology point of the view to explain, or how I actually realized that even computer scientists has a problem to explain themselves, and then we are coming into touch with the legal science in order to provide more protection for data subject. Explanation is something what is a must, so somehow there is I felt that there is a big fight, between technology science and legal science when we are talking about this issue.
I think this is a very interesting point that you make, that there's like obviously this miscommunication between, on the one hand, what the or computer science says, and then at the same time what we from a legal perspective want and try to grant data subjects in terms of their rights and protection. But I can also imagine that, as technology improves over time, at some point, and you mentioned black boxes and these
Sorry to interrupt you, but I forgot to say that technology now actually I've researched those materials, and there is in recent time there is somehow development of those systems that can convert this black box into the glass box, you know. So somehow they're trying to find a way how to make this black box clear, even for computer scientists to be clear what is going on in black box, because even they don't know, you know, and this is a name, black box. So it is really stressful, you know, when you actually compare two science, like a legal and technology science, and how actually legal science are finding way to protect and to force this protection of the data subject. And from other side, you have a practical problems in technologies.
Yeah, and that's where it obviously is a question, like how long should you wait to be able to do something like that? Because we're talking about individuals and their rights and protection here. But I didn't know that. So that's really interesting, from the black box to the glass box. And I think that's also very, very necessary for both communities to better understand each other, and for, like you just said, you know, to regulate these technologies and the impacts that they have.
Yeah, because it is questionable, you know, how to understand the notion transparency, you know, how to interpret transparency, especially in the context of the big data analytics, you know. As we discussed, you know, discussed in the previous question regarding meaningful information. So this transparency, in my opinion, doesn't mean, you know, opening the whole computer system and how it's work, you know, but transparency of the system in the sense that is explainable to average data subject to understand that, okay, we are going to process your personal data with that purpose, for instance, with the purpose of profiling, and you have to know it, you know, so this is transparency. We are going to sell this data to that and that company and so on. So in that sense, if we are talking about transparency of the such system, it is possible to affect data subject awareness, and data subject is going to think, okay, what is going on with my data, you know. So
I think you also specifically argue in your work that this, you know, that this right to an explanation of automated decision making systems reaches far beyond the GDPR, as you've already said a couple of times. And you also say that, you know, additional regulatory measures will be required in the EU landscape in addition to what the GDPR offers right now. So what of these regulatory measures do you really envision?
So first of all, as you know, my research focus is on profiling through big data analytics, where I'm trying to find actually if there is any interplay between data protection law and consumer protection law. So in that sense, if we have in the mind that primary concern of personal data processing is either data collection or data manipulation intended to produce new information about individuals, in my opinion, it is not surprising that personal data processing is mainly used for commercial purposes. And then I mentioned that there is problem with commercial exploitation based on unfair commercial practice directives. So in the context of the enforcement of the rights stipulated granted by the GDPR for data subject, in my point of the view, one of the useful sources is a directive on unfair commercial practice directives, actually, or the UCPD, because this directive plays a crucial role in regulating an individual's protection from unfair commercial practice when it comes to personal data processing, for instance. It can be useful for data processing. So while the GDPR may have contributed to the increase in impact on unfair commercial practices concerning unfair means of communicating with consumer, the UCPD offers protection when it comes to unfair commercial practice in business-to-consumer transaction, which we have, you know, if we are talking about, I don't know, social media platform, e-commerce platform, and so on. So what the point is that, for instance, since it is my focus of the research, I found that this right to information that is stipulated by the UCPD in its Article 7, it's really useful and have substantial overlap with the Article 13, 14, and 15 of the GDPR. So it can somehow, you know, we have the GDPR as a first, you know, legal act, and then actually UCPD can support enforcement of the rights for data subjects. Also, I have to mention that I researched some other articles in the GDPR and other provisions. In the first line, I'm talking about Article 25 that contains specific requirements relating to technical design of data processing system, or what we know under the notion privacy by design. So what is going on with this Article 25? So following the rules from Article 25, the data controller is explicitly called by the GDPR to implement organizational measures besides technical ones. So somehow, in my point of view, this Article 25 pushed controllers to provide this friendly data protection concerning data subject. And then besides Article 25, I also researched Article 30 and 35. First of all, Article 30 is of central importance because with this provision, it specified a duty to compile records of all processing activities. And finally, in Article 35, paragraph 3.a, GDPR defining a duty for data controllers, of course, to carry out a data protection impact assessment, especially for automated decision-making system. So I think that this combination of Article 30, 35, and Article 25 represents somehow an early opportunity to consider the details of the data processing, including those implementation that is in line with the GDPR provision, and also all it together can offer this friendly data protection and also somehow can offer more protection for data subjects.
So the GDPR is a good basis, but we should look at other fields and other legal documents that already exist to add to what already is there. But you have a very, very comprehensive idea on this.
Yeah, but you know what? I personally see that this interdisciplinary approach is a must when we are talking about technology. You know, for those cases, for instance, there is a lot of examples of monetization emotions of the people. So, for instance, you know, those suicide cases in London, for instance, I think during 2019 were really something like a bomb, you know, because those people were looking really happy on Facebook or Instagram, you know, and then they just decided to finish with their life. So there is also somehow a touch with psychological science, you know, like what is going on with the brain of the people if we have all these data that are flowing around us and we are providing those data in the end. So this is somehow the reason why we need interdisciplinary approach when we are talking about big data analytics, in my opinion, you know. So in that sense, also this conclusion from the first podcast episode is like, GDPR is good basis, but let's look what is beside the GDPR. It is what is applicable actually beside the GDPR, considering the particular case, and particular industry sector where we are going to apply all these rules, you know.
Definitely. No, interesting perspective. And just like the, you know, you can't look at technology within a vacuum, you can't look at the law within a vacuum either. So I think it's a great perspective, and I think also a great way to end this podcast. So now, Maya, thank you very much for joining me. I think it was really, really relevant. Some nice perspectives, and I think a good conclusion as well. So thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you for invitation. I was really happy to be with you today, and I hope it will be useful.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Law of Tech podcast. If you want to make sure you keep up to date with the show and never miss out on an episode, be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform of choice and follow the Law of Tech on social media. If you enjoyed the show, please give it a rating or review as it helps others discover the show, and don't forget to share it with your network. For now, have a great day, and I'll see you in the next episode of the Law of Tech podcast. We'll be right back.